Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad the travelers are back home and that you come out on this rainy day. I don't know where you're watching from. It could be South Africa. Who knows? But it's raining here, and we needed it because of some forest fires. And so I thank the Lord, for He is the Lord of the rain in the time of need. And so we're going to open, and our mighty warrior, Pastor Mel, is away. And so here I am. Surprise, surprise, surprise. I'm Jan. And just welcome you in the name of the Lord. And the Lord is in the house, and He is about to do great and mighty things, because really, He's already done it. He's already done it. Okay, so we're going to start our worship and just join in with all your heart. And you're not singing to us. You're not singing with us. You're singing to Him. Amen.
Amazing grace. my God, my Savior, has ransomed me. The night of blood, His mercy brings unending love, amazing grace.
Let's do that one again. The Lord has promised.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be.
Comfort those in need. Shall return
in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord, my God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days I will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, my God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord, my God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days I will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, my God. For endless days I will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, my God. Oh, we sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, my God. Oh, yeah.
Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord.
Above all other names, all other names that have come against us, even in this week, Lord, we exalt the name of Jesus, who is exalted above all other names, because you are exalted. You are the exalted risen Lord. Death couldn't hold you. The grave couldn't keep you in the grave. Hallelujah. Jesus is the exalted one. Hallelujah. Sing, I exalt thee again. I exalt.
Praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody,
All those online, we know some of our flock are at home fighting off whatever this thing is. And so we just welcome them online. And Lord, we thank you for the visitors that are in the house today. Those that have been away that are back safe and sound. God bless you. Good to have you all here. Don't really have a whole lot of announcements, except we've got a birthday this week. So let's sing happy birthday to Teresa. Yes, we have to do it. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best year you've ever had. Amen. She receives that. Amen. That's good. Thank you, Lord. So I just wondered, has anybody got a testimony that's burning in your heart? Oh, okay. Teresa has. Birthday girl.
It's okay. This year I'm double digits. I can't even reverse the numbers. So I went to Saskatoon, which was interesting. Anyways, with my sister. And we got there in 12 and a half hours, so you know how fast we went. Anyways, I was able to, and I had prayer and fasting here at home first before I went. And I was just going to say the importance of that, because I went with wanting God to reconcile my sister and her daughter, who had not spoken to each other for over 2 years. All because of this COVID stuff, and had not spoken to each other. And it was just going to be a meeting in a coffee shop, but God had other plans. But anyways, so they ended up coming to my nephew's home, which was really kind of a little tense. But anyways, that was okay. Anyways, so she came, and my niece was just gracious. And I, that morning, I just fasted and prayed. I just thought, Lord, okay, they're going to come. But you know what? The awesome thing was, for the first time, my sister actually went to her, and they actually hugged, and they actually, you know, she called her mom. And I mean, it was, I know they've got a lot to work out. I'm not saying it's over, but I'm saying that at least, you know, it was the barrier that was broken down. So we're praising the Lord for that.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh.
Okay, so I was not going to do this 5 minutes ago, but I was going to come up this weekend because Mary was like, I went on a trip to YWAM in Hawaii, and Mary was like, oh, you should go up and you should speak about it. And I was like, maybe. I was not going to do it. So I was just sitting there. I was like, okay, well, I might as well. So I'm going to come up. And I just wanted to say I went on this trip, and I went to visit my best friend in Hawaii because she lives there. And I was staying at this YWAM base, and the first few days was, like, really rough because I missed my family and stuff. And it was really cool, though, because I was staying at this place where there was people that just wanted to uplift everyone in God's spirit all the time. And there was people that were praying for you or coming up to you and hugging you. And it was like, whoa, like, I didn't know people could do this. And I was like, I don't know people like this. I have wonderful friends, and people here are amazing. But there's nothing quite like people in Hawaii that are just like, yeah, like, classic surfer dude, like, hang loose, like, everything's great. Like, that's how everyone was. And I had random people coming up to me and being like, I saw you in worship this morning, and I feel like I should pray for you. And I was like, okay. So they come and pray for me. They come and give me hugs or things like that. And I was like, I don't know these people. Like, what's going on? And I went to this youth group, and I had problems with my ankles because I'm a gymnast. And I've broken the same ankle twice, and I've broken a few different bones in it. And it's really bad, and I've had a lot of problems with it, and I'm quite concerned. And I went to youth group this day, and I got split up with all these girls that were actually quite mean to me, and I was like, I don't like this. Like, what's going on? So I sit down, and this youth pastor goes, okay, like, I feel like I should pray for someone's ankles. And everyone's going, like, okay, like, my ankle, my ankle. Everyone in our group needed prayer for their ankle, and she looks at me, and she goes, I felt like I should pray for you. And I was like, okay. And she's like, have you broken this ankle? And I was like, yeah, I've broken it twice. And she's like, do you play any sports? And I was like, yeah, I'm a gymnast. And she goes, okay, I'm going to pray for your ankle. So I was like, okay, didn't know these people. And these girls are glaring at me, like, who's this? And I was like, okay. And she goes, okay, I just kind of pray for all everyone's ankles and stuff. And she prays and she goes, I just really hope that you can continue your sports and things like this. And it was like, that is so cool. And after that, I just remember like feeling so much better and stuff. And not only did I honestly feel like something in my ankle just healed, I just felt like that entire rest of that trip had something different about it. And there was just like so many other things. Like we'd go to Monday morning worship and everyone would just dance and like sing. And it was just like the most amazing experience ever. And I just felt like something changed to me because I've had a rough like few months in the winter, I guess you could say. And I just felt like I kind of went off and kind of like didn't know where I was with my faith. And I was like, well, maybe it's just not for me. And I was honestly close to just saying like, whatever. And then I kind of went there and it was like, things happened that I prayed that were going to happen, but all within the course of a few days. And it brought me back to something that I was, like, I almost lost. And I'm so grateful for that, and I'm so happy, so I'm definitely going to be going back there.
Wow. There's just nothing like YWAM to get to the heart of the matter. Praise the Lord. Has anybody else got something? Okay. Jan is going to come and do the offering.
Well, as most of you know, that I'm one of the worship leaders in this house, and I'm going to lead you into worship because giving, you give your heart, you give your voice. Our Father sowed His Son. He gave us an extravagant gift. And we don't give to Him out of religious duty. Here, I'll read it to you from the Passion. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. But when you remember what Jesus did, and He just gave extravagantly to us, and it's not about money, it's about the condition of your heart. And it's got to flow from the inside. You're not under compulsion to give. You let God tell you what to do and surrender to Him because you're sowing a seed into a harvest He wants to bring to your life because He loves you that much. And the scripture just before that said, here's my point, a stingy sower will reap a meager harvest. And that's just the law of sowing and reaping. But God loves us. And so just as much as you poured out your heart to the Lord, and if you haven't in worship, it's time to start now because He is worthy. And He loves you back. When you're loving on Him, He loves you back. So the same thing. When you bring your offering, give it to Him like that woman that washed Jesus' feet with her tears. And gave the most costly gift that anybody could give to our Savior at that time was that ointment that she did. That was extravagant. And so don't go all there expecting me to give. Go, I'm giving to my King, whatever it is that He puts on your heart. Okay, so Father, in Jesus' name, we bless all that have heard these words. And Lord, You are worthy of all honor and praise and worship. And so we just give our hearts in our offering to You this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And Teresa, she's going to take the children in the back. And we are ready in season, aren't we? We are just ready, aren't we? So the children, be blessed to go with Teresa to the back. Just enjoy. I meant to mention that the moms that were away, we have some flowers there for Mother's Day, and they're still waiting on some moms to grab them, so grab them on their way out.
Okay. Anybody here? All right. All waiting for. So good, we're cutting out. I can never tell because I. Okay. What would happen? Look at your neighbor and tell them they're amazing. You're amazing. All right. You're good now. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word, God, and the power of your word. Lord, help me. Just to declare your word, to speak truth, and Lord, to bring this together, understand, Lord, who we are created to be in this hour and what our purpose is. Lord, thank you. Honor you today, and we thank you for your word. Give us ears to hear, Lord. Thank you. What you're about to do. And God, what you are doing and what you have already done. Amen. So I was in Kamloops and it said, I happened to be at an intersection and I looked over and there was a window and it said, what would happen if you knew you were amazing? What would happen? It's interesting because I put it on Facebook as a question. What would happen if you knew you were amazing? And a few people responded and said, you are amazing. I am amazing. And reasons why you're amazing. But why are we amazing? I have a two-part message here, but and the reason I'm pulling it together in this way, and I'll try to keep it short, and I'll, you know, because it just takes a lot of words sometimes for us to kind of get to understand. Who are you? Who are we? And I think we can't really know who we are in Christ until we know who we were created to be. When God did it in the beginning. Of course, I have to, you know, always acknowledge Candy because she always puts these things on Facebook that says, right here, right now. It reminds me and it makes me think, God, what is it you want to be for me right now in my situation? Who are you in my situation? We all have stuff. We all have situations. But what is the promise? We heard the song this morning. What is the promise for that situation? Too quick, we're just so often running after the situation and the source of it rather than going, God, who are you in this situation? What's the promise for this situation? And I think as we stand up for truth and on the Word of God, the power of the spoken Word of God has way more power than any prayer that we could pray. Because that is the prayer. To speak the word of God. Life over that situation. I don't care what it is. It's the word. You need healing? It's the Word. You need your mind renewed? It's the Word. You need finances? It's the Word. You need emotional healing? It's the Word. We need restoration? It's the Word. And when Pastor Andrew was here, he said something he said, the seed knows what to do. So does the Word of God. It knows what to do in every situation. We don't need to make it do anything. It knows what to do because who's the Word? Jesus is the Word. And He knows what to do. But there's an alignment that comes into play when we speak the Word. And I don't know about you, but for me, I need to know why. Okay, God, how does this work? Faith is one thing. And when everybody got healed, He said, it's your faith that made you well. Because you believed in me. You believed in what my Word said. It's that simple. But we run out of patience sometimes. Well, I guess that ain't working. I guess it wasn't really God's will. It didn't happen the way I thought it should. And I can guarantee you it never will happen the way you think it should. We have seen God do amazing things. And they never happened the way I think they should. But He always does them His way, which is always a surprise, so it's great. It's like, okay, God, wow, that's amazing. And so love moves mountains. Of course, we want to prove that we're right in a situation or all different kinds of things. And I'm speaking to myself here. Got to remember, man, it's love. It's how Jesus responded to everything. And so I'm just reading a few things, and I'm going to speak to it, and I'm going to talk a little bit about a few different things about the mantle that we carry. So I think about, you know, and we'll sing songs like I'm So Thirsty. Why do we sing that? Are you thirsty? That's like saying I've got a pitcher of water here in a glass, and I'm saying I'm thirsty. If you're thirsty, drink. It's available. When Jesus came to the woman at the well, that I'm going to give you water that you will never thirst again. I thank God you gave us everything that we need. Living water. And then He goes on to say that it'll flow out of you like a river. So take as much as you want. To me, I'm like, okay, so what does this mean? What does it mean to you? I always like to share because I like to challenge myself. God, who are you and who am I? It's one thing to know who God is. It's another thing to know who we are. You see, and then they came up with all kinds of excuses. They said, oh, this guy's blind. Well, somebody in his family must have sinned and all that stuff. And he's cursed because of this. And trying to blame it on something rather than, you know what? If we never had bad situations, we wouldn't know how good God is. So stop blaming the devil for all your problems. Go to God because He is the solution to it. Not you rebuking the devil. Yeah, that there's place for that, but it is our recognition of who Jesus is, what He did. He made a show of Him openly, and it's His problem. And I think there's times in my own life I have to take ownership of some of this stuff. It's not all, you know, it's easy to just blame it on the devil or one of his demon friends. But what about us? What about me? What about Terry? What about my attitude? You know, there's certain things that we do that we need to take ownership of ourselves. Okay, that's not who I'm created to be. I need to change my thinking. I need to change my heart. Because I carry the mantle of Christ. And I wish that young lady was here. I can't remember that's your daughter's name, but I will get talk to Pastor Mel because I think she should actually come up here and preach. I think we should open the door to her. I don't know if you sensed it, but there's an anointing that flew out, that came out of her. It flowed. It was like, ooh, man. Like, I could have just said, here's the mic. Have at her. You could see the mantle changed from before she left. And now she's back. There's something changed. What changed? Her identity. Her mindset of who she is. And if the world is having a problem, it's an identity problem. They don't know who they were created to be. And if we're having the same problem, we're not much good to them. Amen? Anyway, she talked, you know, divine appointments. And I thank God. And I'm doing a bit of a, I don't want to say I'm doing a test. I'm doing a challenge to myself on how I pray. So to pray and to go, okay, I've prayed. I've asked God. He already knows. He says, He knows what I need before I ask. Is that what it says? And so I begin to, and I wrote out some stuff. I didn't get too specific. And I just begin to thank God for them. It's amazing. Whatever it is, it's God, who do you want to be for me now? Bring light to every situation in my life that needs light. But be prepared for some stuff to come up. But we don't like it. We just want to be comfortable Christians. Be in the Holy Ghost and just all warm and fuzzy and full of joy all the time. And just. But. Word says we will have trials. But he said rejoice. Be in joy. Don't worry. Stay in rest. Stay in peace. But when we ask God to come in to do things, that exposes stuff. You got to be okay with that. Otherwise, I want to say that the mantle on our lives is not a visible thing. You can't really see it. But it is displayed. You see, there's a difference. By the fruit of the power of God on our lives. And that's what the mantle of Christ is Him on display because He indwells in us. Amen? So it's not like this shirt. You can see it. But I can see the mantle of God in each one of you. But we need to not focus on some of the other stuff. We need to focus on what we see that's of the fruit of the Spirit, of the mantle of God that's in each other. Not easy to do, though. It says the mantle represents God's gift, the call of God, and the purpose for which God has called him. The mantle serves as a symbolic purpose. In the case, you know, as a prophet, knowing that they were wrapped in God's authority, it attracts favor with God to bear fruit for his kingdom. You see, the world, those that are hungry for God, God, the ones that God's called, will be attracted to us. The favor of God is attracted to us. Why? Because of him. Because they're attracted to him in us. Paul says, it's not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And as we begin to expect divine appointments, they come in so many ways, and so often we miss them because we don't respond. But if we develop a mindset of thinking that, God, what are you going to do today? Who are you going to send today? What is the opportunity in the kingdom? And if anybody knows this, it's me, because I'm busy. I get, 50 to 75 phone calls a day, and probably close to the same in emails. One of the ladies that worked for me said, well, you created it, but you're right. Which is okay. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, within all of that, there's still room to hear what God says. And to recognize what is a divine appointment. Let's face it, they should all be divine appointments. No matter what. Every person we talk to, every opportunity that comes along. So I'm going to go to Genesis. And I'm not going to read Genesis chapter 1. And it's interesting how God, and like I said before, to know who we are in Christ, we need to know who we were created to be when God created Adam and Eve. And I want to say this, and please don't be offended. If you're offended, then you have to take it up with him, because he wrote the word, not me. And don't get caught up in, if you respond to things different than I do. I used to stand up there, and when we were worshiping, and I would see somebody sitting down worshiping, not saying a word, and think, what's wrong with you? You should be standing up and have. And then I discovered that you could worship God sitting down saying nothing. In fact, I could probably hear better. So my thinking has changed, and so don't be surprised in, you know, how somebody else prays or how they see things, or, you know, just we're different. Thank God. We're all the same. We'd be robots. And God didn't create no robots. He created us to be intimate with him, and we are all intimate in different ways. You know, not all of us fall out on the floor. It's okay. Nowhere in the Bible says you have to. Right? We all enjoy the presence of God differently. And you know, the Lord showed me something, and I heard this in the message, and I had to go study it out. And that's why I said, don't get offended, ladies, because it's just what the Word says. And it says that when God created man, and he did that, and then he created Eve, and how Eve came out of man, and then the serpent deceived Eve. But man, Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't. He was disobedient. There's a difference, and neither one of them were good. You don't believe me? You go read Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Pull that all together on how that happened. And it says in Genesis 1, 26, and this is where I've been a Christian for 25 years and studied the Word in different areas and different ways and went, okay, God took some dirt, created a man. But it says in the chapter before, and God's Word is so intimate and so deep, it's going to take us the rest of our days to understand it, and even on the last day, there's still more that we can get from it. That's how amazing. So, and it says in 26, then God, and I'm going to read it from the easy read version because it's faster. If I had to amplify it, it's just too. And it says, and God said, let's make humans who will be like us. Now, what does that mean? What does that say to you? God says, let us make humans so they'll be like us. Like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if somebody ever said, well, you think you're just like God. No, I don't. He did it first. He said, I'm going to make all these people, and they're going to be just like me. They can act like me. They can look like me. They will rule. A lot of people don't like that word. A lot of people don't want to rule either. Mm-mm. Dan, I'll let you rule. I want nothing to do with it. I'll just be standing here. I'll let you. Max, I'll let you rule. Everybody. Not everybody's leaders. I get it. Not everybody's called to the... But we are called to rule over the fish, the sea, the birds, the air, over all the large animals. And then it says, so God created humans in his own image. Man, I got to challenge myself on this one. Because, you know, if I have a challenge with my wife or somebody or, you know, you want to respond because I think I'm right. Or if we judge somebody, we're actually judging God because we're created in his image. And so we're better to not even say anything and just go, you know what? They're created in God's image. They may not know, you know, their mind might not be renewed to the place where it should be. So they're responding out of, Pastor Brandt always says, we only operate out of what we know. That's true, right? And it says, and he created them to be like himself. He created them male and female. I'm not going to go any further on that one, but you can take that to wherever you like. Male and female, that's it. He didn't say anything else. He said, and God blessed them, and he said to them, have many children, fill the earth, and take control over it, rule over the fish in the sea, and birds, and he carries on. He says, keep doing that. Then it goes into chapter 2. Creation of man and woman. And, you know, he goes on and he's still creating stuff. And you get verse 2, or chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, then the Lord God took dust from the ground and made a man. And he breathed the breath of life into the man's nose, and the man became a living being. Is that not a conflict of interest, as we would say in the world? Didn't he just create man in chapter 1? I'm going to make him. God took a part of himself and his own DNA and made a man, and then he said, I'm going to take some dirt, I'm going to make a living carbon being, because we came from the dirt and we're going back to the dirt. The emphasis is that we were created in the image of God, and so he took that part of himself and he put it in a dirt vessel and said, now go and be who I created you to be. That was my and so then you get down to 16, and the Lord gave him this command. You may eat many tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree that gives knowledge about good and evil. If you eat from that tree on that day, you will surely die. And then God says, so the woman's not here yet. Talking to Adam. Just God and Adam. That's it. Then the Lord said, I see that it's not good for this guy to be alone. I'll make him a companion. He needs one just right for him. And then it says, and it's interesting how it changed. It said God used the dirt and made all the critters. Then we go down to verse 22 in chapter 2 of Genesis. And it says, the Lord used a rib from a man to make a woman. Go! I encourage you to go study out that word. The rib. You know, did he actually go in there and physically pull out a guy's rib and say, I'm going to make a woman out of that? I don't think so. I believe when you look at it, God pulled the DNA out of Adam. So he made a man of himself, and he made a woman, so a man with a womb out of the DNA of Adam. That's when I read that and I go into the Hebrew language or word of it, I'm assuming at the time that's the best thing. They just had to take a chunk of a man out somewhere, but I believe it was the DNA because we're the same. But we're different. I'm going somewhere. And then he brought the man to the woman, and the man said, finally, one like me. With bone from my bone and body from my body, and she taken out a man, so he called her woman. And then he goes on. This is why a man leaves his father and his mother and is joined to his wife, and the two become one. Now that's a whole other sermon. This is a whole other sermon in itself, too, that I don't have time to get into, and I'm just going to follow and be obedient to what God, you know, told me to share, because this is a whole sermon in itself on who the snake was in the garden. You got to understand who Satan was before he fell, was found in the garden. This guy was pretty spectacular. It says, the snake was the most clever of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And the snake spoke to the woman and said, woman, did God really tell you you must not eat from the tree in the garden? And he's doing that to people all the time. But it's significant. And so what did she say? The woman answered the snake and says, no, we can eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but there's one tree. We must not eat, for God told us. You never heard any record of her, God telling her. Told Adam. Remember back there? So Adam had to tell her. You know, we can eat anything here, but don't touch that one. You must not eat from this tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not even touch that tree or you'll die. But the snake said to the woman, you'll not die. It says God knows if you eat the fruit of that tree, you will learn about good and evil. And then you will be just like God. You're already like God, created in His image. You see, we have to understand this, to know who we are in Christ. Because if we don't know who we were created to be, we can never know who we really are to be in Him. And it says the woman could see that the tree was beautiful and the fruit looked so good to eat. She also liked the idea that would it make her wise. So she took some of the fruit from the tree and she ate it. And her husband was there with her. And so she gave him some. And he ate it. And then their eyes were open. And to what you and I know today, we know the difference. We can see both good and evil. It wasn't really meant or designed to be that way from the beginning. But we have the perception to see both. Would you agree? This isn't negative. This is the most positive thing that a human being carries, is the ability to see the good, the difference between good and evil. I mean, what happened there? Happened. If it was you or I, probably would have did the same thing. My wife said to me, hey, honey, this is really good. We should go do this. I might listen to her. And then if God came along like He did here and said, oh, it's that woman you gave me. It's her fault. You got to blame her. I was just here. No. God told you not to eat it. And you could have told her, no, we're not eating that. That's the way it should have rolled, but it didn't. But we would have done the same. I know I would have. There's no question. That's not even optional. Okay, so then the Lord said to the woman, what have you done? She said, the snake tricked me. So I ate it. He enticed me. Tricked me. He deceived me. He said, I could be just like you. I fell for it. Watch, this gets really interesting. You ladies are going to jump out of your seats. And you'll understand a little bit why you ladies do warfare a little different than us men. There's a reason. He was deceived. We were disobedient. There's a big difference. And that's why we respond differently to a lot of things. I hope this helps you. It helped me. And the Lord, said to the snake, "You did this very bad thing, so this will happen to you. It will be worse for you than for any other animal, so you must crawl on your belly." You ever wonder what the snake looked like before God said this to him? Anyway, there's a whole bunch of things around there about who Satan was in the beginning, how he ended up in the garden, this whole episode here. "You must crawl on your belly and eat the dust all the days of your life. And I will make you and the woman enemies to each other. Say you and the man, and you and the woman." Your children and her children will be enemies, and you will bite her child's foot, but he will crush your head. And God said to the woman, "I will cause you to have much trouble when you are pregnant, and when you give birth to your children, you have much pain. But you will want your husband very much, but he will rule over you." And God said to the man, I commanded you not to eat of that tree, but you listened to your wife and ate from it. But I will curse the ground, and you'll have to work hard all of your life for the ground to produce. Time's sake, it's going to grow thorns, it's going to do all kinds of stuff. And then in that verse 22, it says, the Lord God said, "Look, the man has become like us. He knows about good and evil, and now the man might take the fruit from the tree of life. And if the man eats that fruit, he will live forever." And it goes on. I'm not going to go there any further. I just wanted to whet your appetite on creation. Who we are created to be. The mantle that God put on us. And the reason, the difference between how men and women operate in the spirit realm and how a woman will put her foot on the devil's neck sometimes. And they have an anger and but us men, we don't respond all the time in that same way. Because we all carry a mantle, both men and women, now in Christ. It's like, no. That's our authority. So the mantle is, and we don't, and you, some of you, you're going to get a little bit messed up on this. We don't have to use the name of Jesus all the time. You might, it says in his name, but if you go study out his name, it's his power, his authority. There's lots of Jesuses out there. And I know some religious people will lose their minds over this. Some churches will just, but you need to understand what the mantle is that we carry. Yes, it is in his name, but that name represents the mantle. You got to study that word out. I'm not trying to say that you don't use the name of Jesus, but I can tell you what, you can scream the name of Jesus out over a lot of things. But if you don't know you have the power and the mantle in you, that you carry it and you understand it and the confidence in it, that's why Jesus said, "Your faith. You touched my mantle and you got healed." And this is where we get to enter into his rest and we get to operate in the kingdom. So in Ephesians, how I love how God operates. That wasn't supposed to happen. What happens when you use an app? Hebrews chapter 3. You see, we think that we are, and this is part of the mantle. We need to understand who the church is. We get so caught up in all that God wants us to do that it says, but Christ is faithful in ruling God's house as the Son. And we are God's house if we remain confident of the great hope we are glad say we have. That's verse 6. See, this isn't Pastor Mel's church or the leadership's church. Yeah, we're responsible for him, but this is Christ. And Jesus. It says Christ. It doesn't even say his name, Jesus. And if you look up being in Christ, you will find about 600 verses that identify about being in Christ and Him in us and what that looks like. So then if we go to Ephesians, and I'm just giving you a few, I mean, most of you are all Bible scholars on your own. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, in Christ we were chosen to be God's people. See, people get mad at you when you say that. But what makes you so special? I can't help it. He chose me. He chose you. God had already planned for us to be His people because that's what He wanted. He is the one who makes everything agree with what He decides and wants. People, we got to be careful what we do because we say, well, this isn't happening because maybe it's God's will. But what is God's will? Is it God's will for you to be healed? Is it God's will for you to be... What the Word says, right? It is His will. You said it this morning. I hope everybody gets a revelation that they were healed. I'm not waiting for it. You may not have the manifestation of it yet. And this is where we come to God and we say, now what is it you want to be for me now? I want to be your healer. But do you believe me? We say, yeah. And then we go, well, I guess that did work. I better try it a different way. I said this the last time I preached. I said, I'm not looking for God to do anything. Right here, right now. You know what? I might not make it home. And what I mean, but I'm not looking for God to do anything because He's already done everything that He is ever going to do for me. All I got to do was line up with what he said and move in that. And I can tell you one thing, that will take a lot of pressure off of your faith to believe something. Okay, God, you said this, it's your word, I'm in covenant with you, Christ lives in me, I will just walk in that. And you watch how quickly it will manifest in your life. We don't need to try to make it happen other than to speak the word of truth over whatever situation. And I could spend an hour going through New Testament scriptures and Romans and Hebrews and Ephesians and Galatians and dial this all in, but I don't have time. But I wanted to kind of split it in two sections to understand who we were created to be and to understand the difference between men and women on how we respond to things. And so when we come together as men and women or husband and wives, the power that we have in that mantle. Amen? No. I'm the warrior. My wife is the radar. GPS, not really a GPS. A radar is not a GPS. A radar is, warning sign. Everybody okay? Turn with me to Romans, chapter 3. And in chapter 3, verse 22, and it says, God makes people right through their faith in Jesus Christ. And he does this for some who believe in hope. What? Oh, it says all. Everyone is the same. I got to watch myself. I know I'm preaching on the mantle of Christ. And I believe it with all my heart. In fact, I encourage you to meditate on who you are. Because what you meditate on, you become. And if you meditate on the problem will amplify. You meditate on the promise. So I encourage you, stop meditating on what's wrong and start meditating on what's right. And what's right is what he did, and that will manifest it in our life. Meditation's not easy, though. Almost mystical out there, but the Bible talks about in many places. You shall meditate on the word sometimes, day and night. Like I said, I'm just quoting a few here. I typically like to study the whole chapter and do that, but in this case, I'm Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul is talking in verse 19. I'll go back to this one. And so I saw the law itself that caused me to end my life under the law. I died to the law so that I could live for God. I have been nailed to the cross with Christ. But so I'm not the one living now. It is Christ living in me. I'm still living in my body. But I live by faith in the Son of God, and he is the one who loved me and gave himself who saved me. Bye, dear. Gotta be. The Romans, last verse, chapter 5. Verse 16. And it says, after Adam sinned, he was judged guilty. Agreed. But the gift of God is different. His free gift came from after many sins, and it makes people right with him. One man sinned, and so death ruled all people because of that one man's. But now some people accept God's full grace and his great gift of being made right. Surely they will have true life and rule through one man, Jesus. So that one sin of Adam brought the punishment of death to all people. But in the same way, Christ did something so good that it makes all people right with God. And that brings them true life. One man's disobedience and many became sinners. But in the same way, one man obeyed God, and many will be made right. The law was brought in so that more people would sin the way Adam did. But where sin is increased, there was even more of God's grace. Sin once used death to rule us, but God gave us more of his grace so that grace could rule by making us right with him. And this brings us eternal life through Christ our Lord. Do we know who we are? I'm still learning who I am, but I'm 25 years down the road further than I used to be. And I'm like, God, I don't know if it's just as you get, you know, on the last half chapter of your life, you go, God, I really need to figure this out. But I spent so many years just trying to get a hold of just something to fix everything. Even as a believer, not understanding what had transpired in Christ on a cross. The old you is dead. The new you is alive. That's it. It's the solution to everything. Because let's face it. What have we got to lose? Not a thing. We've already gained everything. We have no time to get stuck on stuff. We just need to move on into the kingdom. We're already in it. Okay, God, what do you want to do today? Where are we going? Where's my divine appointment? How do I manifest through this thing? Amen? I encourage you. Be encouraged about who you are. Get rid of the mindset of who you're not. Amen? If anybody needs prayer, I'm going to just cut it off here because it's a long weekend. Everybody's got places to go and be. If you need prayer for anything, we'll pray for you. But I can tell you what, the most powerful prayer you got is the one you pray. Because he's your Father. Because, yeah, we come together in agreement. There's power in that. And if you don't know who you are, I hope that after today you get a little bit closer to knowing who you are. And even those online, because there's people around, there's a lot of different theological things out there. Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I thank you that you put yourself in us. You put your mantle in us. You put Christ in us. Lord, to build your kingdom. So Lord, thank you, God, for your word today. Lord, thank you that it says that we can have the mind of Christ. It says, when we see you again, we will look just like you. We'll be just like you. So Lord, I thank you. And it says the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So Lord, thank you that you have given us your word, your revelation. God, of who you are and who we are. And what Jesus accomplished. The Lord, that we would develop the mindset to accomplish what you have set us here to do. God, I thank you for divine appointments for each one this week. Thank you for answered prayer. God, I thank you for excitement. What you're doing in this hour. None of this takes you by surprise. And it shouldn't surprise us all that much either. God, thank you. Thank you for all those online. God, we thank you. We just thank you for an amazing week coming forward. And in the name of Jesus, be blessed. Encourage each other. Sometimes we need a little encouragement. Right? Are you going to sing a song, Max, to lead us out? Or y'all okay?